CBS Radio brings you The Couple Next Door, written by Peg Lynch and starring Peg Lynch and Alan Bunch.
My goodness, I didn't know you were home.
Oh, yeah, I got home early. I called to you, then I heard the shower going upstairs.
Well, I thought I'd clean up a bit. I swept the basement. It was so dusty.
You went down and swept the basement?
Oh, it's filthy. Well, for heaven's sake, what is that?
What is what?
Oh,
I don't know. Eleanor left it.
What?
Yeah, she was here to pick up Mary Lou. She just said, give it to you.
Give this to me? What? Why did she give me this? What is it, a vase?
I don't know, darling. Well, maybe she borrowed it from you.
Borrowed it from you? Why, honey, you know we never had anything like this.
Oh, I thought I didn't remember anything like this. Maybe it's a present.
Why should Eleanor be giving me a present?
Darling, I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
Why should she?
Maybe she wanted to give you something for taking Mary Lou off her hands these days. I mean, after all, kind of nice with Betsy having a club and children over here every day for swimming and playing. Give the kids something to do. I suppose the mothers appreciate it. Maybe she just wanted to show her appreciation and give you a present. Huh?
Dear, look at this vase. It's a monstrosity. Well, you wouldn't give this to anybody.
No.
Especially Eleanor, who has excellent taste in everything. You know how lovely her house looks. Why, she would never buy anything like this.
Maybe somebody gave it to her.
Well, why did she turn around and give it to me?
Well, sweetheart, I don't know.
Well, I don't either.
She just handed it to me, and I said you were apparently taking a shower. And she said, all right, well, tell her not to bother. Don't call her. She wouldn't wait. She just said to give it to you.
I certainly don't understand. It is without doubt the most hideous face I've ever seen in my life.
Now, you know what we've taught Betsy. Never look a gift horse in the mouth.
Well, this is really...
Hey, one thing, you better call Eleanor up and thank her anyhow.
Well, good heavens, I wouldn't know what to say.
Thank you.
For a purple vase with yellow cupids or cherubs or whatever they are turning somersaults. Why, this is just fantastic. It's so ugly. Eleanor must have said something. It can't be a present.
All Eleanor said was that it was for you. And since she was just here, I'd say give her about 10 minutes to get home and then give her a call.
Well, I certainly don't know what I'm going to say.
Yes, for Pete's sake. Where are you?
In the kitchen, trying to decide what to have for dinner.
Oh,
come on out and help me.
I couldn't find you. I didn't know where the heck you were.
Sick and tired of trying to...
Listen, Myra just drove up.
She probably came for Patty. Yell out the window a bit. Oh, never mind. I will. Betsy!
Honey!
Tell Patty your mother's here,
boy! No. Will you listen?
Betsy! Will you tell Patty her mother is here for?
Now you're finished? Will you listen to me a minute then?
Patty, tell her mother's here.
Myra's got some stuff for you, too. She just asked me to help her unload the car, and I got to go back out there and help her. I just wanted to tell you, that's all. If you'd let me get a word in.
What do you mean Myra has stuff for me, too?
Did you get Eleanor on the phone and find out why she gave you that awful vase?
No, she wasn't home. Fred said she'd gone to the store, so I said to tell her thank you for the vase, and he didn't know what I was talking about, and neither did I, really. So I just said, well, have her call me, you know, when she gets back.
Well, my dear, you should see what Myra has for you, if you think that was something. Is this your birthday or something that I've slipped up on?
You know my birthday's in November.
Thought maybe you were having an extra one.
I hope not.
Well, anyhow, just be prepared to receive from Myra one of those, the Victorian lamps with a beaded lampshade and a leather pillow that
beaded
says...
Beaded lampshade?
A beaded lampshade and a leather pillow that says right on it, Yellowstone National Park.
Joking.
You think
you're joking.
No, I ought to be, but come here. Come here and see for yourself. Come on.
What did Myra say?
I went outside just as Myra drove up, and she said, do you want to help me unload the car? And I said, well, sure. What are you unloading?
Yeah,
and she
said,
things for your wife, she said. So I tell you, when I opened the trunk of that car and took out this ghastly beaded lampshade, I didn't know what to say.
Well, I should think not. Well, what else was there?
More vases, picture frames, One of them with a tarnished gilt frame and a picture of an Englishman riding to the hounds or something in pink coat. I mean, he had them, you know, they had them. And there's an old beat-up wastebasket.
Oh, really? Well, she needs, why don't they get a new car? She needs help, I guess. Come on, let's find out what this is all about.
There you are. I asked your husband to help me unload the car and just vanished.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, Myra. I just thought I left a cigarette burning. So
he came in the house.
Go back and make sure.
Myra, he told me you were here with all this.
Well, here you are. Belong to my grandmother. But you're certainly welcome to it.
Well, thank you, Myra.
Oh, I love those old beaded lampshades, don't you?
Oh, the beaded lampshades. They were just lovely. Now, if it belonged to your grandmother, Myra, I really don't think you should part with it.
Listen, I've had it in the attic for years. You might just as well have it.
Well, I mean, I do love early American things, but I... Well, thank you, Myra.
On.
Very sweet of you.
Come on, let's unload the car. You can have all the stuff. I went through the attic, dug up everything I could find for you.
Oh, wasn't there a helper, dear?
Yes, I guess. Too heavy.
Uh-huh. Myra... We're old friends, and I'm going to speak very frankly. Why are you giving me all these things? I mean, it's very nice of you, and I'm very appreciative. I know that you know that I love
old
men.
I thought you wanted a lot of white elephants.
I did. For what?
For the fire.
What fire?
Betsy's fire.
Betsy's fair? What are you talking about?
The fair the children are putting on.
What fair?
Wait a minute. We're not getting anywhere here.
Didn't Betsy tell you that they're all putting on a fair?
No.
No. Oh. Betsy never tells me anything that's going on when the children are here. They go down there to her playhouse, and they have their club meetings, and I say to her, you know, after all the children have gone home, she comes to the house, and I say, well, what do you do at your meetings? And she says, oh, Mother.
Well, old brother is what I'd say, putting on a fair and not telling us. That little Dickens, she does it. She is so cute, you know.
Cute? I don't want to know more about it. Is that what all this stuff is for, Mom?
Yes. I got my orders from Patty. I was to look around the house and bring all the so-called white elephants I could find for the white elephant booth and bring them over here.
Well, what are the kids going to do with them?
Sell them, I guess. Here's a box of old books for the bookstore. I think my daughter's in charge of that. And I think your daughter is in charge of hot dogs and hamburgers. And I was asked to bring over our outdoor grill.
Oh, Myra, you didn't need to do that. I mean, we've got one.
Well, you need more than one for 50 people.
50 people?
50 people?
Didn't Betsy tell you anything about this?
No.
No.
She tell you anything?
No, nothing.
Well, I have news for you. The fair to which families, relatives, and friends have already been invited is to be held this Saturday in your yard.
Betsy!
I told you we were going to have a fair.
You never said one word to me about it. I have asked you repeatedly about your club and what you were doing.
The idea of your planning something like this, not telling us one word about it.
I did tell you. I told you yesterday. But anyhow, you don't have to worry about it. We're putting it on. You don't have to do anything.
With all of you children inviting your families and other friends so that it amounts to about 50 people coming, there's got to be some organization here.
Well, Bill's going to help us.
Well, Bill cannot do everything now,
Bill. Bill? Bill Newton is the boy from down the road. I hired to do some weeding for me, that Bill, and clean up the yard. And my beloved wife usurps him and puts him to work as a glorified babysitter.
Well.
Can you imagine $1.25 an hour I pay to this guy to play Red Rover and Run Sheep Run?
He's not a babysitter. He's wonderful with the children, Myra, and they adore him. And he's a lifeguard. Somebody has to watch them when they go swimming in the lake. And I might add, after I got that all set up, you, dear, try to usurp Bill to build you a stereophonic sound set, which we certainly don't need. I want to talk to you about that, too.
You talk to him, but he's going to do it for nothing. I mean, he likes it. It's a hobby with him.
Well, just the same, we don't need it, dear. Why can't you high-five people to be satisfied with...
Why don't we stick to the subject at hand? If you're going to have 50 people showing up here Saturday,
Well, we can't have it Saturday. That's all there is to it.
Why?
Because there isn't time, that's all.
Time for what?
Time to get organized.
For what?
We are organized. Susan is going to be fortune teller and tell fortunes. And Patty is going to sell books. Sally is in charge of white elephants. Clara's in charge of balloons for decorations. Ruthie is in charge of games. And we're going to charge 25 cents to go swimming in the lake, 10 cents to play croquet, and 15 cents to play ping pong. We're going to put on a show, too, and charge 50 cents. And everybody's going to do something, like dance or sing. And Christina's in charge of the zoo. Everybody's going to bring their dogs and their cats and all the pets they have, and we're going to put them in cages and put signs on it that say, ferocious toddler and things like that. So don't worry, we are organized.
Well, it's dinner time. I think I'll get on home. Call me if you need me.
Now, Betsy. Betsy, I want you to stop your crying and listen to Mommy and Daddy.
What?
All right, now, if you're going to sell hot dogs and hamburgers to your families and friends, you have to have them to sell. And after you buy them, who's going to cook them? You children are too little to cook on an outdoor grill.
Patty said her daddy could cook, and she's going to ask him, and I thought you could help, too. And I thought Mommy could buy the hot dogs and hamburgers when she goes shopping. Well, she can just call up and have them delivered.
Honey, you have to have mustard, relish, pickles, ketchup.
Charcoal for the grill.
And where are all these dozens of cats and dogs your friends are bringing? Where are they going to be put? These cages, as you said, for the zoo. What cages?
We're just going to have some old boxes.
But, honey, you don't have any old boxes or any new ones. You're planning this for Saturday. I mean, and all these cold drinks, ginger ale and orange pop and all that. I mean, how are you going to keep them cold?
You see,
we have to have plans for ice, dear. We have to make plans to get the ice and coolers to keep them in.
Not only that, if 50 people are going to go in swimming, where are they all going to change clothes?
Yes.
And some plans have to be made for that.
Yes.
I can get a tent and set it up. Maybe I can borrow another one, but with so little time.
Basement maybe we could use. Why didn't you tell Mommy and Daddy about this sooner?
Because you always make everything so complicated.
Complicated.
Well, you do.
Now, Betsy, look. Now, if you just give us another week, just one more week, we could help you.
Daddy, we don't want you to help. It's nice of you, and thank you. But we want to do it ourselves.
All right, that's fine, that's fine. And I want you to learn how to do things yourself. But there's something else you have to learn, and that is when you invite 50 people to come here to a fair, and you say that you say starts at 10:30 in the morning and lasts until 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I mean, you have to tell your mother and father. I mean, certain things have to be arranged, like a certain number of chairs, garbage cans for their paper plates. Now, look, you will postpone your fair for 1 week, so go and get on the phone. Call your club members and pass the word around. Go on. Go on now. We're sorry, dear, but this has to be postponed.
Oh, look at her little face. Parents can be such killjoys. You know, I always vowed that if I had children, I wouldn't be. I was going to be such a darling, sweet, wonderful mother.
Honey, 50 people.
I know.
Next Door stars Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce.
This was an original old radio broadcast presented by Radio of Yesteryear. Carol Hawkins speaking.